I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, just in time for summer, the latest in sneakers. But first, at Tell Me More, we're always looking for the next big thing. And today, we're bringing you a little something so you can goof off and maybe do some good. We're going to talk to a man who believes that video games don't have to be brain candy. You might even trick yourself into learning something. He joins me from Denver. Ian Bogost is head of Persuasive Games, one company that is developing serious video games. Ian, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Are these educational games? Because people think of maybe Scrabble as probably an educational game, or something like Leapfrog, which is for kids to teach kids how to spell. Is it like that, or is it different than that?
Well, you know, the software industry got really burned in the sort of edutainment era of the 80s and 90s, and a lot of people don't like using the term, and a lot of people don't like to hear it when they're getting ready to play something, right? You don't want to, it's got the kind of chocolate-covered broccoli syndrome. you know, arguably, all games and all media are educational in the sense that they're talking about some aspect of the world and trying to present a perspective on it, and I think that's something we don't give games credit for.
Tell me about some of your games. I'm going to play one in just a minute, but tell me about some of the games.
Most of the games we create at Persuasive Games are about social and political issues, and we've done everything from kind of games for political candidates. For example, we did the first U.S. presidential election game for Howard Dean back in 2003, if you can remember those days. And lately we've been working on a series of games that we call news games, which are sort of the video game equivalent of editorial cartoons. And one example of a game we did was about the liquid ban in airports, and it's a game in which you've got to work as a TSA agent trying to keep up with some sort of satirical version of rapidly changing security policies.
Now, why would somebody want to do that? Isn't that the kind of thing you think, I'm just so glad I don't have to do that for a living?
a lot of our games kind of give the player the opportunity to take on these roles that they might not normally think they want to be a part of. We've also done a game about working at Kinko's, for example. And I actually think that people are very eager to kind of play a role that's different from the one that they ordinarily experience. Most video games, though, the roles that we play in them are these kind of roles of tremendous power, right? You're a pro ball player or you're a space marine. The experiences that other people have that are actually very mundane are untapped in games, so we've been trying to tap them.
Well, let's look at one of your games. It's called Oil God. I'm going to launch it here on my computer. Tell me about Oil God. What's it about?
So Oil God is a game about essentially the politics of global oil. And we wanted to show that the relationship between the gas prices at the pump and the way that the oil industry worked was actually quite complex. And in particular, the features that I wanted to highlight in this game was that simultaneous kind of geopolitical unrest and natural disaster. And so in this game, you take on the role of this sort of oil god, right, who wields a hand over this toy world and can launch wars and alien invasions.
Okay, I'm going to start. That music that you hear was the music from the game, and it says you choose your difficulty level. I can be regular, unleaded, super unleaded, premium. Oh, I'm definitely going to go for regular. And I see, the goal is to, the goal is to increase the price of oil. Why is that the goal?
Yeah. Right. So one of the things I like to do in these games is let people do things that they would normally not think of as goals, right? So the idea of doubling gas prices in a target country is the goal in Oil God. You want to know not what it would take to make gas really inexpensive, but rather what are the factors that are making it really expensive.
And I have some choices here. I can change the politics of a country. I can change the economy of a country. I can start a war. All right, what should I do first?
Well, I mean, you know, one good strategy is to try to take out the oil supply. So disrupting the supply itself will usually drive up prices. So, you know, maybe you want to start a war between some of the oil-producing countries that are represented by those oil derricks.
We've
got those sort of tools at the side with the war icon.
Okay, start a war. And then, notice how I just blithely said, yeah, start a war.
War sure is exciting.
So that's the voice of our oil god.
Okay, let's see what happened.
If you have multiple factors that are at work at once, then you know this will affect the oil futures market that we've modeled in the game in a more substantial way. So you may want to try something else.
Okay, let me change the economy.
One strategy is to introduce socialism in your target country to raise taxes.
Yeah, and that's my thought.
You know, the totalitarian governments usually have a tighter control over their production
exactly.
And exports.
Okay.
try an alien invasion. That's
I didn't see alien invasion.
There.
Yeah. There's earthquake. I can't do an earthquake. That's not
so, you know, there's some humor in these games,
there's
too, obviously.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes. Can't do that, it's too sad. Volcanoes.
Yeah, the natural disasters are interesting to use because they can disrupt refineries and distribution. So if you try a hurricane at home, I mean, this is...
A cleansing rain washes away the petrol.
This is exactly what happened with Rita and Katrina, right, in the southern U.S., is that these strong oil refining and distribution centers were disrupted, and they actually remain disrupted to some extent today.
I'm too soft hearted. I can't go for a flood. So I think I'm going to go back to some political civil war. I don't know. That's not right. Oh, I think definitely alien invasion.
Let the probing begin.
There they are. Now we're getting somewhere. We're going up, but not that bad. It's almost $3. Yeah, so I've only gone up like 50 cents.
The game works is that you actually have to have multiple conditions working at once. And this was the argument that we wanted to make in this game.
Okay. Oh, game over. My score is zero.
Yeah, you must have run out of
time. Ian, I'm a mess. I'm a loser.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
It is a tough game. Well, thank you, though. So I'm going to close that out. It is a tough game, but you're right. It does make you think. It makes you think, oh, the situation is never static. But what's the end game, if I could use that term? I mean, what do you hope to accomplish at the end of these kinds of games?
Right. What we want people to do is kind of reflect about the opinion that we've presented, just like a written editorial or an editorial cartoon might do. And really, I just want to kind of incite some thinking about these topics and some response to it.
What about a game to attack racism? What could it potentially look like?
You know, one way to do a game about racism would be to let people experience racism itself. One thing I would be particularly interested in doing if I were to make a game about racism would be to look historically at different kinds of racism, right? Not just what present-day racism is like, but maybe what racism has felt like over the last couple of millennia, kind of contextualizing that idea in something that we really have always had to address.
Have you got any problems that you're trying to work out through a game?
Oh, gosh, I've got lots of problems, I'm sure. The things that interest me and that I usually end up kind of working on in games, everything from kind of, poverty to geopolitics, it's really all across the board. And where I'm trying to focus is on kind of social issues and, thinking about what a better world might look like and trying to make games that would model some possibility of that.
Ian Vogost is founding partner and game designer at Persuasive Games. You can learn more about Serious Games at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Ian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.